Welcome to part two of our conversation with Sola Vitus about being followed by demons. Let's talk about how you identified the woman in the park that you'd seen as a child later in life as an attachment that had followed you. Tell me about that story.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was changing, and part of that realization of the oppression that I had and everything else was that it wasn't just the one, there was something else as well. Because she stayed with me, there were still things about me that were a little bit different, little quirks and stuff that I'd never done before. And when I started to study spirit attachment and learned how to see them, to look for them, I did that on myself. And I had somebody else do it just to make sure that I was 100%, you know, seeing what I was seeing. And I saw her in my auric field. So somebody else saw her in my auric field. So I knew right then and there, I couldn't dispute it, that this woman has been with me for that long. And I'm now 46 years old. We're talking my concrete realization was at 45. So she was with me for that long. With that, obviously, we had to release her, and it was really hard. And when you have an attachment like that, their personality, in a sense, becomes you, and it's a hard thing to let go. It's like you suffer a loss, not just for that spirit, but also for the human who has that attachment, for me. So when I, you know, thought, well, this isn't right. As much as I know she didn't harm me, she's not me. She doesn't have a right to live through me. And I took that back from her, released her back to where she was, and have tried to send her to the light, but she won't move. She's back at that park where I first picked her up from, where I first saw her and she came along. Now, with that, you can try with human spirits to move them along, to go to the light. Some of them are scared. She's here trying to get a story out. She's here looking for revenge, and I haven't been able to give her that. So she won't probably go for a very long time. That's where it was with my attachment.
How did you specifically identify that it was her? Did you have another encounter where you saw her again later in life?
No. When you do spirit attachments on other people, because that's what I do, I have a look, you scan their auric field, and you can see if there is attachments there, and sometimes you can actually see what it is. Mm-hmm. And I saw her on myself, but to be 100% sure, like I'd never seen her before in between, from 7 to 45, I'd never seen her in between. Mm-hmm. But I saw her at that moment, and I asked somebody else to check for me. Didn't tell them what I saw. I just said, I want you to check to see what I've got. I think I've got an attachment. I'm not quite sure what it is. Can you check for me? And the description was exactly that woman. Oh. So that validated for me that what I was seeing was not a memory, was not something that my mind was conjuring up. It was fact. So I ventured back to that park, and you know, we had a discussion. I told her that she no longer could be with me, that she'd spent so many years with me, and it was time for me to be completely me. So I took that fragment of my soul that she had a hold of back.
How is that done? If there's something, I understand it's not as easy as having a conversation if it's something very dark and demonic and it does not want to let go. Is it really, when you're dealing with an attachment that was human once, that was once living, is it as simple, so to speak? And I think sometimes we overlook simplicity when we're talking about paranormal. As simple as reasoning with it, as having that conversation and being and saying, look, I've been here. I'm not delivering what I feel you want. You're hurting me. And I'd like this to end, essentially like breaking up with someone or ending a friendship. Is it that simple? Do they have to then agree to leave, or is it still kind of the weights on their side as to if they choose to let go or not? Is there ever the way to force them away from you?
There is ways to force it. Look, every attachment is a different situation, because that human spirit was once living and had a life, had a personality, and went through things themselves. Sometimes they're earthbound, because some of them don't even know they're dead. Some of them don't want to be go to the light. They're scared of what's to come. They're not sure, and they want to stay where they are. Some of them don't want to give up life, and they're the ones that are harder to convince to move on. So in some cases with spirit attachments, and some of them are children, where they are lost, and they're just attached to somebody because they're confused and they're scared. These people, though, these children can be moved on. Sometimes, though, you have sinister or very bad people who lived, you've got murderers, rapists, people who were on drugs for most of their lives, people who did very bad things to other humans and animals, who are not going to budge, and that takes a lot longer to move on. It's not a negotiation. It's, it is taking back yourself from them. It is pretty much standing up to yourself. It's like standing up to a bully. Mm-hmm. You've got to stand up for yourself for it to stop. So with this, my case, though, that wasn't the case. She wasn't there to harm me. So it was a matter of, this is what I feel, this is what I'm saying to you, and I'm releasing you, and I don't want you to follow me. And it happened. Now, it could have gone another way. It could have gone where she wouldn't, and she still would have been there, and it would have taken more attempts and more attempts. But she did go. Has she left our earth plane? No, she hasn't. But she did leave me.
You had mentioned that you believe she was seeking some sort of revenge. What was that?
Not revenge. I think she wanted her story to be told.
Okay.
From the research that we did, I did EVPs trying to get information from her. She was murdered, from what we know. She was murdered. They don't know where her body is, because I kept asking, where is your body? Is it near the park? Is it near the park? Sometimes we'd get yes. Sometimes we'd get close. Sometimes we'd get no. We'd get different names of her, so we're not quite sure. Now, could she have been a trickster? She could have been a spirit tricking me. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But all I know is that she was a human spirit. With that, I can't help her. So until she finds a way to be able to communicate properly, mm-hmm. we won't be able to give her that closure that she's looking for.
When someone has an attachment that is relatively positive, mm-hmm. and is not out for negativity, they're not out to harm, but they're actually seemingly there to help. And the person who realizes they have this attachment of a once living spirit that is seemingly helpful, and almost you're both kind of on the same page of, I'm happy with you, you're happy with me. Is it okay as a living person with this attachment to allow them to hang on, to stay there and be that attachment? Or is it ultimately the duty of someone who discovers they have an attachment that's not malevolent, that's not there to hurt or manipulate, to help them find that way to move on? Is it always the duty of the living, regardless, to help that spirit go to the next place?
Yes, it is. You, as a human being, you have your energy, your soul, your purpose. Nothing else has the right, good, bad, or indifferent, to interfere into your soul and your energy and your life path. So this human spirit once had a life. So it's the time came where that life ended. Now, they move on to, let's say, another life form, another realm, because we don't exactly know what's out there, but they don't have the right to do that. They need to move on, and they need to go on to the next part of whatever it is that the next life is. And we need to be living our life here. Whether good or bad, it doesn't matter. It still affects you as a person. If a spirit, a good spirit, whether someone you knew, someone, an ancestor, anybody that wants to help a living human being, can do so, but not through attachment. When you're attaching, you're being selfish and you're taking part of that living human person's soul. You cannot do that. You don't have the right to do that.
Why is it that some spirits seem to be able to easily, after their passing from this life to the next, have a much easier time going to that next place, that next realm, that next life form, whatever it may be, and others seem to linger? Is this a choice that they're making, or is there something where there's just confusion at that moment and fear of, well, I'm on this side now. I can either walk this way or that way. What do you believe that is?
My belief system is, as we have free will on Earth, we have free will on the other side. So they can decide that they are earthbound. They can decide that they want to cross over. They can decide that they want to haunt. They can decide anything they want. They have free will, just as we do. So their reasons could be many. We don't know.
Why is it that some spirits, when you see them, for example, the woman in the park that became the attachment for you for so long, when you saw her in the park, and this is a question that I'm always very puzzled by, it's kind of a surface question, but it is something that I love to hear individuals' opinions on. Why is it that some appear very menacing? They have that look. I mean, when you described the woman to me, it almost, in my mind, the woman that was haunting the library in Ghostbusters came to mind, in the scary form, with there's no eyes and this very menacing appearance. Why is it that when not menacing, some have this very scary appearance to people, while others will look just, you know, just like you and me? And some people won't even identify them as being a spirit because they are there as plain as day.
Well, with this situation, I think she appeared to me the way that she passed away. So she didn't look scary other than the fact of her eyes were hollow. You couldn't see eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that part obviously is scary for a child when you see that. The rest of her, though, looked very human. She had nice flowy black hair, a nice long white dress that looked a little dirty, but she wasn't trying to scare. And that's how you can tell the difference. If she was menacing, she would have caused me all sorts of grief in my life. There would have been a poltergeist activity in my home. There would have been all that sort of stuff. So why do they appear in certain ways? Again, I couldn't tell you. They have free will. This is why we do research in the field, and still we don't have all the answers. We have assumptions. You know, we have some things that make sense and they click, and there is repetitive situations and behaviors where we can say, yep, we can be pretty certain about this thing, but we can't be certain. We're not certain about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it goes down to free will.
Yeah. It's always been a question that eludes me. We'll hear a story, for example. You could hear one story where someone loses a parent or a loved one in a violent car accident, and the body of that parent is very mangled and in a very wretched looking state after the horrible accident. And for example, the son or the daughter ends up seeing the parent later that night. And in story A and account A, the parent looks like they did after the accident scene in a very mangled, scary way. It scares the hell out of the child, but they're able to identify, this is my parent. But the parent's not there to be menacing. The parent is there to give a final goodbye or a quick message or something. In story B, exact same situation happens. Parent shows back up. However, they look like they did in the prime of their life, sometimes even a different time period, even a younger version, if you will. Again, to deliver the message, to say goodbye, and neither have negative intent, but the visualization that the child ends up seeing, two totally different experiences. Does that flow into free will as far as maybe the awareness of what the spirit is portraying to the outside, where maybe there's a realization you can have of, oh, I want to appear this way to my loved ones, and the other just didn't have that realization yet?
Possibly, absolutely. And sometimes it depends on the message they're giving and who they're appearing to. If they're appearing to their child, say a child, and you're appearing in the way that you looked, they may not be aware that they look that way yet, because they wouldn't be there to scare a child, their child, if they're saying goodbye.
No.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah, and there could be that non-awareness of, this is what I look like. They can't see themselves in a mirror either.
Sure.
So sometimes spirits are in shock. They're quite shocked. And, you know, sudden car accidents and things happen very quickly. So if you're then going to say goodbye, it may be that you're not realizing what you're looking like at that right then and there. And why do they look like that? sometimes, and why can they look younger or like the prime of their life? It's not known. We don't know why that is, but we can put it down to maybe possibly the way they want to portray a message. They may want you to see what they went through, feel what they felt when it all happened, mm-hmm. Whether they're trying to, you know, upset you or not. You don't know. It depends on the situation, the family, and how it all occurred and what you're seeing of the spirit now, the person that's passed away, as to what it all could mean.
Yeah, it's just one of those questions that I've always wondered about, because you hear so many variants to the same sort of story, and it just always leaves me with more questions than it does answers. And obviously, we don't know the answer, but it's always very compelling to talk to someone who is in this field, who talks about this, who's had these experiences, to hear various opinions like yourself. Earlier, you had mentioned Ouija boards, and you had mentioned ways of using them correctly and incorrectly. And this is always a hot button topic for our audiences on both of our programs. Is there ever a truly safe way to use a Ouija board? This is an opinion question, but I know there are methods where, you know, this is best practices for opening, using, and closing a Ouija board. But is there ever truly a way to turn that light switch off on it? And yes, you can end this session. Nothing negative can get through, has gotten through, or will be able to get through if steps A, B, and C are followed.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
But at the same time, I won't say that I'm 100% concrete on that, but I would like to believe that there is. If Ouija boards, using a Ouija board or using a K2 meter, mm-hmm. Using a REM pod, divining rods, whichever way you want to go, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You are still there calling on a spirit. Now, when I go and investigate, and I may be in a building where, let's say, Fred is supposedly there. He's a great spirit. He's friendly. He'll come out and say hello. He'll do some knocks for you or something like that. And I'm trying to communicate with Fred. Do I know that I'm actually communicating with Fred? When I go in there, obviously I have protection, I protect my team. We make sure that we go in there with the protection of the angels and everything else, that we don't get hurt, we don't get attachments. But when we do start our investigation, is said Fred exactly who Fred is supposed to be? Or is that another spirit or another entity pretending to be Fred and entertaining us? Again, there too, we don't know the answers to that either.
That's true.
Whether you're using a Ouija board, whether it's a paranormal investigator walking into a presumed haunted location, it really doesn't matter. What it matters, it's all the same thing. Mm-hmm. You are trying to communicate with spirit. And at the same time, you can never be 100% sure that that is the spirit you think you're communicating. So at a Ouija board, you might be asking to speak to, you know, I could be there saying, I'd like my dad to come through. I'd like to communicate with my father. And then my dad's voice may come through. Or, you know, if you're my dad, can you please spell out your name? Or, Dad, can you knock on the wall? And that could happen. But is it truly my father? We don't know. It doesn't matter which way you use to communicate with spirit. It's all the same. It's a matter of protecting yourself and knowing that what you could be communicating with may not be who you think it is. And it could be something negative.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Solovitis about being followed by demons. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.